Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in your everyday life. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast. To my right in studio, David Lean on Zoom with us, but all the way across from Greece, we have Pastor Liz with us. Hello, Pastor Liz.
It's good to be with you.
Your video was stalled for a second. All right. Well, today we've got an interesting topic. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about loving enemies. Mm-hmm. Oof. Liz, Pastor Liz, what comes to mind when you hear loving enemies?
Loving enemies. I immediately, something that is not easy or pleasant to do. Something that's very Christ-like, very, very anti-world, very different than the way the world views things.
Right. Yeah. How about you, Pastor David?
Yeah, it's completely not the way the world does it. We're trained to hate our enemies. And even Jesus spoke to this. He said, you've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemy. Mm-hmm. Pray for those that curse you and persecute you. Mm-hmm. And it's a very, it's not something that's easy to us. It doesn't come easy, and it only comes through the Holy Spirit. Right. Because if you look around at people, I mean, you look at our world, there's so much evil and there's so much deception. Mm-hmm. And you just think like, how could I even empathize with certain people, let alone have a dialogue with them or do something nice for them or respond with love to their attacks, right? And so, right. I mean, I think we just saw on the news, Charlie Kirk be assassinated, and there's people writing like, well, he deserved that. And, you know, he should get shot in the head or in the neck or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, how do you get to that point? You know, like how could somebody get to that point? Mm-hmm. And like, how deceived is a person, you know? And, but then you just think, I've been that deceived. You know, I've hated others. There's been people that I've thought, I wouldn't be sad if they died. You know, it would be no great loss, you know? And so we can just think like, what was it like for God to love us as his enemies? Yeah. With people that are so deceived that we think that God, you know, is totally different than he actually is. We believe that human beings in his image have no worth, you know, unless they're serving us. Mm-hmm. You know, people that are just, how could he even connect to somebody that's just antithetical to the mm-hmm. way that he operates?
Right.
Yet God has not given up. And God has, you know, continued to pursue us, and he's laid down his life to build a bridge for us to walk back to him. Mm-hmm. You know, he never moved, but he's building the bridge for us to walk back. And so I just think it's such an example to me that, you know, and it gives me hope that if God won't give up and, you know, God is in us, there's a way to reach the people around us.
Right.
And it may look differently than how the world thinks you're supposed to address your enemies. The world thinks you're supposed to, you know, Conan the Barbarian, crush your enemies, see him driven before you, hear the lamentations of their women. You know, like, that's what I just think of. And you're like, that's how the world thinks about it. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're just like, that is not going to work. That is not going to move us anywhere. Yeah. So I'm just going off some headlines that I've been looking at and comments I've been reading on the internet, which is always your first mistake to read comments on the internet. But I mean, that's people expressing what their heart is under a shield of anonymity or, you know, no accountability. Mm-hmm. And you just think, this is what's in the heart of people. And like, and how am I supposed to reach that? You know?
Yeah. So. And I hear that loving your enemies, it's the love I think of, it's so easy to be like, oh, that's emotional. Like, I emotionally do not like that person or, you know, have a really hard, nasty stance towards them. And like, we don't have to agree with what people do. We're not saying that. No. We're not saying we have to love what they're doing. But that love is sacrificial love. Like Liz was starting to say, like, it's all about, it's Christ's way. And while we were, you know, alienated to him and rebellious to him. And you said the word antithetical, like, we were enemies. Mm-hmm. We were his enemies. Sometimes we still act like his enemies. we were enemies to him, yet he sacrificially loved us and gave himself for us. And so I think it's so hard, of course, but that's something, I mean, be real, like, God has called us to this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's called us to this. All right, Pastor Liz?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that it's actually impossible without without the love of God dwelling in you. It's not human nature. It's definitely not sin nature.
To love
enemies, to love those that use you, to those that curse you, those that persecute you, those that take from you, those that wrong you. It's only from the nature of God. Only God does that.
Right.
Loves those that are actively against him and gives himself for them. If there's any chance that there can be reconciliation, if there's any chance that there can be healing and peace, he gives himself so generously. He does not, he's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't give himself more to one than the other. He gives himself completely to all. And whether they receive him or not is completely up to them, but it's not because he withholds himself from them.
Yeah.
And that is such a, it really is impossible except for yielding to the nature of God that's in you. And, you know, and the Holy Spirit sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that allows us to love people that every natural thing tells you should hate.
Yeah.
But love pursues.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every natural thing is, you know, in the law too, is eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You do this to me, I do this to you. That is, like you said, I like how you said it. You said human nature. Definitely not sin nature. It's carnal nature wants to do that. Like if I just think of it in a sensory, you know, level or just the way that I, you know, calculate justice in my brain, it's like, you did this, so I'm coming back. Like it's that ever challenging balancing out life, right? You wrong me, I wrong you back. Now we're even, right? Or getting even. There is no getting even with Christ.
No.
There's just giving.
Yeah. It reminds me of when my son was little, we took him to junior church and he got in trouble that day. He kicked someone and we're like, why are you kicking that person? He's like, they kicked me. And the Bible says, do unto others what they do to you. And he was so serious. Like he was so like, you taught us this, you know, why are you mad at me? Because I'm doing what the Bible says. And so it was like, this reminds me of that. Sometimes we take that viewpoint of like, no, we give the same way we get.
Yeah.
We give back. We're not gonna be pushovers. We're gonna like, and we use the Bible as justification. Like I'm standing up against evil, and I'm, you know, it's like it's a very skewed perspective we have sometimes on God's outlook on people and the world situation.
Right, right. Yeah.
God overcomes his enemies through dying for them. And it's, you know, God had to love an enemy before he ever loved a neighbor. And God is in a love story with his enemies as well as his friends. And you think about it that way, that do people still reap what they sow? Absolutely. That's inherent to sin. If we don't repent and reap what Jesus sowed, you know, we will still inherit those consequences. And God can use that to awaken us to our deception and awaken us to how warped we are in our sin. But God is not the one that changes. He's not, and I like how you said we're tempted when we get, and Jesus was tempted to revile in return, to strike back, you know, to, you know, he could have raised an army and fought against his enemies. He had enough pull and popularity to do that. So he knows what it's like to be tempted to retaliation. But that's what that law is called in Latin, is the lex talionis, the eye for the eye. It's the law of retaliation. And Jesus said, do not resist the one who's evil. That's a scripture that it takes a lot to let that really sink in, that you go, wait, I'm supposed to resist evil, right? Yes, but not the one who is evil. Like, how do I resist the evil without demonizing the person, without making the person into an abomination that's now inhuman, that I can justify seeing them shot or excluded or canceled or whatever the culture is going to do to that person. We cannot ever go there. Right. God didn't cancel us. You know, it's just like, he doesn't do that. And, it's always a challenge to be like, God doesn't respond as the Lion of Judah to his enemies. He responds as the Lamb. And he just goes, okay, you know, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's the only thing that actually heals. That's the only thing that destroys an enemy, because it reconciles the enemy.
Right.
Right. It turns them into a friend, you know, like I think Abraham Lincoln said that, you know, Abe, you know, so it's,
honest Abe.
But it's so, it's in us, it's in God, but it's in us because we have the nature mm-hmm. of God. Mm-hmm. And if we take his scripture seriously and his living word seriously, Jesus, we go, I'm not responding right. in the way that I'm intended to. And Holy Spirit, help me to yeah. do that. Yeah. And sometimes that's the only place we can be, is a place of just, we're hurt, we're broken, we're lamenting, but we say, Holy Spirit, I'm not going to do this without you. I can't do it without you.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I want to clarify too, like who our enemy is, right? So when it says love your enemies, the Lord's saying, you know, he speaks to this in Matthew and in Luke 6, and he's saying, love each other, right? Like it's people, even people who are against you. And then he later defines who your enemy is. It's the devil is your enemy. We're not loving the devil. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of going to what you were saying there, David. Like we don't love, that's who we're wrestling against, right? We are actually warring. We're resisting. We are fighting against principalities, dark forces, you know, wicked entities that are seeking to distract, dissuade, persuade, oppress, you know, all these negative things. They are trying to bring that about on the human race and on God's people. And so there are people overtaken in faults left and right, Christian and non-Christian. Mm-hmm. And so we're supposed to love the person because that's who Christ died for, but despise and absolutely stand against the wickedness, the entity that is purveying itself on them. I would say it that way. And so we have to have a real clear view of that as believers, because otherwise we conflate the two. We conflate the person with the demon or the demonic influence. And we are then, we then go into this place of judgment mm-hmm. and we go into this place of condemning the person. And that's, you know, obviously we're not supposed to condemn. We're not supposed to judge people in that in that way. But we are supposed to separate, you know, the person from the influence of sin and war against that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's really important to remember that, you know, you may be the victim of someone's actions towards you, of hostility, of, you know, of theft or whatever it is that they've perpetuate against you. But we have to remember that the first victim is actually them. They're the victim of the effect of sin and of hatred and bitterness or jealousy mm-hmm. or covetousness mm-hmm. or whatever it is that's come into their soul and twisted things to the point where they take action against another person.
Right.
And I think that we really have to see that these people who are committing these horrible things, you know, like my heart is grieving today mm-hmm. over what's just happened, mm-hmm. but the call for violence against the person who pulled the trigger is equally as grievous. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that there's understand what happens in the heart of somebody to cause them to commit an action like that. Like they've become the victim of sin, which ultimately brings death. And we have to understand that all sin brings death, their sin and my sin. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we have to, if we're going to like come against the death culture of the world and the violence culture of the world, that means that we are making war against sin in our own lives. Mm-hmm. And so there's never a place for us to stand back and say, I'm righteous, you're wicked.
Right.
And you know, you deserve judgment and I don't. Mm-hmm.
Right.
The only one whoever could claim that didn't.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
He came and said, I'm righteous, you're wicked, and I'm giving myself for you so you can be redeemed. Ooh. And I'm giving you the fullness of my perfect life.
Wow.
And there, like, there's just so much challenge in this
right.
of how do we see ourselves in the world? And are we looking at other people and measuring ourselves against them? Or are we measuring ourselves against the only perfect and righteous one
Amen.
Who is completely humble and completely selfless?
Like, yeah.
That's the only standard that there is.
Yeah. So well said.
Yeah, it's a radical shift, because then you start to understand what the early church was thinking and what people think, where it's a joy to give your life for Christ. It's a joy to even you know, be persecuted and to be martyred. The martyr's blood is always seed. It's never wasted. Like mm-hmm. every time that we even get defrauded by an enemy and we respond with a blessing, that's to a reward. That's the light shining in the darkness.
Right.
Jesus didn't come as light to just tell everybody what they're doing wrong. He really only did that to people that thought they were right. He was like, you know, if you said you were blind, you would have no sin, but I came to show you, you know, you've missed it. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin because they have not believed in Christ.
Right.
You know, not just to point out, not just to nitpick everything,
sure,
but to say, this is the light of the world here. The one who will give his life for the undeserving. The Father, he's representing the Father who's kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Mm-hmm. He sends his rain on the just and the unjust.
Okay, yep.
There's no difference between the Father and the Son. Mm-hmm. They have the same charity, the same mercy.
Yes.
Their mercy triumphs over judgment. You know, we were thinking about doing one on mercy. Maybe we'll do a whole podcast on that. But our response to evil has to be mercy. Mm-hmm. It has to be like, you know, this, I need to have a merciful response because I think I've received mercy from God. Mm-hmm. Do we, like Liz was saying, do we have a sense of our own deep deception?
Right.
The insanity that we once lived in, the living hell that we once lived in. Mm-hmm. In Titus, Paul says we once were disobedient, you know, hated and hating one another, mm-hmm. but the loving kindness of God appeared bringing salvation, right. You know, by his mercy. That's humanity. We're hated and we're hating one another. We're trying to drive out the dark with dark, mm-hmm. hate with hate, violence with violence, death with death. Mm-hmm. And it's only a vicious circle. It is the only one who ever broke that loop was the Lord Jesus Christ.
The circle of death.
Yeah. And he mm-hmm. actually raised a whole new way of doing things
right.
in his resurrection. He said, yeah, I mean, I took everything that you had to throw at me. All the enemy had to throw at me, even demonic enemies. Mm. And I buried that and I rose by the glory of the Father. And I raised up a new heaven, a new earth, a new humanity, a new people, a new day. You know, so it's, yeah. That's a revolution.
Yeah.
That, you know, my hope isn't in, can I get my enemy, can I crush my enemy down through punishing them? Mm. My hope is like, we're all going to be raised. Mm-hmm. You know, someone did something about this. So anyway, I could keep ranting on that, but I'm a little worried because like Liz said, a lot of people have responses where they're saying, well, we just haven't punished enough. We haven't locked enough people up. We should reinstate really gruesome forms of capital punishment. You're like, dude, like this is not a Christian response to this. Mm. I'm sorry. That might be an old covenant response. Mm. It's not a new covenant response.
Right. Yeah. There's like Pastor Bob saying right now, there is always consequence.
Yeah.
So there's consequence. And there needs to be, you know, you do the crime, you got to do the time. Like
civil authority.
I get it, you know, but there's a lot of vitriol because it's so, and I understand it too. Yesterday, my heart was absolutely just sunk. And even more so, like for myself, but then even more so because there was other people far more devastated about it than mm-hmm. I was. And I'm thinking about his family and his children and I'm just going, wow. And then you know what else I sensed yesterday, honestly, was this spirit of intimidation to shut the mouths of other believers who have to take up, you know, for the gospel and mm-hmm. open, you know, and thinking about the disciples and what they had to face. And I started thinking of Stephen and what he had to face and just in the middle of a very, you know, antithetical environment. A very hostile environment. They still were preaching and teaching and proclaiming the good things of God. And it's something we still have to step into and still be bold. But it's a boldness with a humility, mm-hmm. right? That has to be together. If it's boldness without humility is just bludgeoning people. But boldness with humility is so Christ-like. I just wanted to read this Luke 6, verses 35 and 36. It encapsulates what you guys have been saying. It's Jesus says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. So he's teaching us to be like him. Mm-hmm. And while that is quite a tall order. I love how Liz said it. She articulated it so great. We can't, it's impossible unless we have Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
working within us and the love of God shed abroad in us mm-hmm. by the Holy Spirit to even begin to allow our minds to think differently.
Yeah. I mean, God always acts according to his nature. Mm. He's never reactionary.
Right.
And he's never responsive impulsively. He always acts according to his nature. Mm-hmm. And that's the challenge for us as sons and daughters, is to act according to the nature that's in us, not just bounced around, you know, like right. James talks about, like with immaturity, sure. immature people just respond. But he's calling for people to be mature mm-hmm. sons of God. Right. Who will understand who they are, understand the nature, the seed that they're born of, and understand what's in them, mm-hmm. the life of God that overcomes the world. It's not on equal levels with mm-hmm. the world. We're not just bantering back and forth. We right. are supposed to overcome the world with love, with humility, with peace, with goodness, gentleness, mm-hmm. long-suffering, mm-hmm. you know, with mercy, with faith, kindness, goodness, all the things that God is. That's how the light overcomes
wow.
the darkness. And, you know, you referenced Luke 6, something I've been reading, and I love this. You know, he goes on from there. It's like, you know, don't, you know, judge not and you won't be judged. Like, condemn not and you won't be condemned. Mm-hmm. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. It's always you give first. Mm. You give out first. You don't act in response. You act according to the nature that's in you.
Right.
You act according to the family line that you're born of. And I love the scripture where he says, you know, give and it will be given to you, pressed down, shaken together right. and running out. You know, like it's not, we use that for offering time, I guess, sometimes. But he's talking about like actually live your life giving yourself
yes.
to people yes. and you have to take the initiative. You take the initiative to, like David said, like you break the cycle. Mm-hmm. People giving you hurt and wrong and anger and bitterness and hostility, and you're giving out of your nature love, mm. peace,
yeah.
hope, kindness, mercy, long suffering to them. And the Lord says, like, as much as you give, you'll be filled.
Right.
You'll wow. be filled by God himself. There's, you know, the promise here is outstanding, because we are not subject to this world. We are supposed to live differently. And I get like there's a challenge to this. It really is like you have to die to yourself, because this does not come from the natural understanding of our minds or our emotions.
Yeah.
But it is the way of life. Mm-hmm. It's the way of God. It's the way of Jesus himself. And like you were talking about, you know, someone like, you know, Charlie Kirk, who goes onto campuses to try to win people over. You do that for love. Mm-hmm. You do that out of love. Mm-hmm. You don't do that out of the way that you talk to people respectfully and to understand. Paul did the same thing when he went into cities.
Yeah.
It wasn't, he didn't do it out to condemn it out of hatred. He did it out of love to try to win people.
Yeah.
He went to people who were hostile, who beat him, who threw him into prisons, who ran him out of towns and separated him from the people that he loved. Mm-hmm. And he went on to the next place and loved the next people.
Yeah.
And tried to win them over for Christ. Only love does that.
Mm.
It really is an extension of our experience with God, that we have been reconciled while we were enemies. He's a God of reconciliation, yes. running a kingdom of reconciliation, sending ambassadors of reconciliation. That's our identity, part of our identity, according to 2 Corinthians 5. We're in the world, but he could just take us right into his direct presence anytime he wanted. That would be a lot better for us, according to Paul, but he leaves us here to bear fruit and to implore people to be reconciled to God. Mm-hmm. And how are we going to do that if everything's perfectly, he puts us in a dark spot. I mean, we've taught this many, many times. God's called us into this place. We have a right. vocation right. as light in the world.
Yes.
We are going to be opposed. He's like, don't be surprised when the world hates you mm-hmm. because the darkness cannot comprehend the light. People in the darkness don't want to come to the light. It's a searing light to see that level of distinction between, mm-hmm. well, this person doesn't respond evil for evil. They're not flappable in the midst of darts and arrows coming at them, mm-hmm. you know? And I would just say like our ministry of reconciliation cannot be done digitally.
Right.
It has to be done face to face. Right. And Jesus looked face to face with his betrayer, and he said, "Friend, why did you come?" And there was a kiss, you know. Mm-hmm. I just think that's the power that we have. Like, even with our enemies, we're not going to turn our face away from them. Yeah. It's so easy to just turn our face away, to hide, to backstab, just anything to avoid looking somebody right in the eye and saying, "I don't agree, but I love you and I'm going to be here, you know, and I'm not going to change."
Yeah.
That's exactly how God is. You know, you can change all day long. You can fight me. You can spit on me. You can crucify me. I'm not going to change. I'm for you. And again, it's like, that's impossible from a scarcity mentality, from like, I better get my needs met. You know, like, that's not going to happen. Yeah. It all comes from an abundance. You know, it comes from, I've been so greatly, massively loved and reconciled as an enemy that I have more to give you than you have to take from me. So somebody wants to take my life, hopefully I'd be glad to give my life.
Right.
You know, somebody wants to take my shirt, well, you can have my jacket.
Right.
You know, that's really what Jesus is teaching. We're not coming from a poverty mentality. We've been infinitely loved. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so we have to have the responsibility to begin experiencing that, begin drawing that from God.
Yeah.
And to walk in love. And that doesn't even mean the love we have for others primarily. It means learn to walk propelled by his love, mm-hmm. compelled by his love, saturated with his love. Yeah. And then, of course, it's, you know, like, how can we not act according to that nature? Mm-hmm. So it should all connect, but it is a disruptive environment we find ourselves in. Yeah. So it's going to be a process for us to shoulder that, you know, to shoulder the life of Christ.
Yeah. I just want to say it's a tall order, as we've all been saying, but it's possible. Mm-hmm. Like, I just want to inject some hope, because that's the living hope we have within us, you know, as Peter talks about, and we have this living hope. And because of that, we're partakers of the divine nature. And if we're partakers of the divine nature, then we can begin to express the divine nature. Mm-hmm. As you were sharing there, David, I was hearing, you know, freely you have received, so freely give. Mm-hmm. But that poverty mentality is, I get, but I don't give. That's the poverty mindset, especially in the kingdom. It's I got all this from the Lord and I'm hoarding all of my truths, but all of you bad people out there, you don't deserve any of this. Mm-hmm. That's so wrong. And so we have to break through that. And again, I say it's possible. Mm-hmm. With God, all things are possible. With man, mm-hmm. not possible. Would never happen, right? The people that actually do that, like a Mother Teresa or, you know, these different figures in life that have just overcame such vitriol and opposition, you know, human beings go, wow, like, what am I supposed to be like, her or him? Or, and it's like, no, that's close to impossible, because even in somebody's best human nature, their best will, their best intention, that's still a super, super high order to do. And it still falls short of what the Lord has for us, right? Yeah. To be completely selfless, completely sacrificial, completely giving, because freely we've received, and he poured out his life. Mm. He poured out everything for us. So we in turn should be pouring out, and we can. And we'll learn this. God will teach us. Holy Spirit will guide us as we begin to lay down our arms, lay down our traumas, lay down our bitterness and our resentments. We have to let those things go. And as we release them, that's when we can be filled, because there's more room. There's actually room for Holy Spirit to work. Now, I want to throw one more thing. Think about how we grieve the Holy Spirit. Like, we're in a really grievous situation right now. It's brutal. But we do the same thing to God. Those that, and I mean believers, like, we know him, we love him, or at least we say we do, and then we turn our backs to him and we alienate again, and we act like an enemy, or we think only carnally, which is enmity against God. Like, we continue to still do this. We go into this place at times. And what does the Lord do? He's still facing us, arms open, with mercy. Yeah. And then he says, use the blood of Jesus to boldly come before my throne of grace to obtain mercy. Yeah. Like, this is mind blowing. God made a way for us to go from a place now where we have alienated him and turned our backs to him and repent, just to turn back to him and go to his throne room, like, just walk in there, like entrance through the blood of Jesus and obtain mercy again.
Yeah.
Amen. It's amazing how just the Lord just brings us right back in there. And then he expects that of us too.
Right.
To almost be like the doorman that's like, hey, just come in, come into the Lord's house. He has mercy for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we express that in a way that's, it can be so powerful to be expressors. What is it? Givers of mercy, showers of mercy. There's a gift of mercy. How many people are praying, you know, for the gift of prophecy or the gift of healing? Are you praying for a gift of mercy? Like,
I need to.
I need to too. Yeah. Any last thoughts, Liz?
I was just thinking that, you know, it's not the Lord's will for any to perish. Like he doesn't look at anybody like, wow, they're so wicked. I really hope they just go to hell.
Yeah.
I really hope they get what's coming to them.
Wow.
And
yeah,
that's not his will for any person that's ever walked the planet.
That's true.
And he's always willing to show mercy. Is he just? Yes. You know, mercy and justice, they meet in Jesus. Mm. He's perfectly merciful and he's absolutely perfectly just.
Yeah.
Also. And he knows what is actually just. We don't. Many times we think we know what justice is and we have a very limited perspective on things. And I think we just have to, keep ourselves rooted in the humility of standing before God and understanding that we don't know everything. We don't see everything. We don't understand the hearts of men. But what we do know is that it is not God's will for anyone to perish eternally. And so we have to align ourselves with that. I mean, it's in some ways, it's very simple. His heart is always to, he always desires reconciliation. He always desires healing. He always desires for someone to be set free and to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter what they've done. That is his heart. That's why Jesus came. And so for me, it's just a reminder of, you know, am I aligning myself with the heart of God? Or am I taking up an earthly form of justice that seems right to me and seems fair and seems good and forgetting the heart of God in the process? You know, or are we actually willing to be part of a different kingdom that doesn't look the same as the one that we're living in right now? But one day we'll see and we'll understand.
Yeah, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Compassions fail not. His mercies are new every morning. And he doesn't turn that off at a certain point. We'll just meditate that out as long as you want. He never actually stops being steadfast love. Right. And just think about, I mean, it's so important when we view people, like you guys are saying, that we're not regarding according to the flesh. We're not looking at the outward appearance or how people sound, the words they use, the actions they take. We don't regard them according to the flesh, because God did not regard us according to the flesh. He looked at all our trespasses and says, I'm not going to count those trespasses against you. I'm going to do what it takes to turn you back around to me through my blood. And that shouldn't turn off for us either. We shouldn't get to the point where we will ultimately write somebody off. There's practical considerations there, but I mean, just in terms of how we see people, think about the haze of deception that people are under. You look at somebody that's living in hate. You look at somebody that's in bond, like they're in bondage. They're not free.
Right.
Like we have been there. Like if you're a Christian, you've been there. If you're like, I've never been there, maybe you need to get saved. Mm-hmm. Maybe you need to understand the bondage to self-righteousness that you're in. Mm-hmm. Maybe you need to realize that. It's like, if you don't get the sense that, wow, God loved me when I was an enemy and I used to be deceived, I doubt you've seen the light. I'm sorry to say it, you know, but if we really understand, I used to be totally bitter. I hated people. I hated other Christians. You know, like I'm speaking personally, like there, I've been through times of deep hatred. Mm-hmm. That's a sin you don't want to confess, right? I have hated people. Is that like, am I alone in that? Like,
of course not.
I've had hatred in my heart to people that I'm called to love and people that I have no right to hate.
Right.
But I was convinced I had every right to hate them. And I wouldn't call it hate. You know, I had plenty of reasons why it wasn't hate, but it was, you know. And when people are under hatred, there's murder in their heart. They have no eternal life. Like they're not experiencing that communion with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
They've deprived themselves of that. They didn't change God. They changed their outlook. Mm-hmm. And we look at even the demons. The demons are under the most massive deceit of any creatures. Like they were created good. They were created as beautiful beings, angels, right? And they're now these absolutely calcified sources of hate.
Yeah.
And that is the effect of hate when it's not, when the light isn't allowed to enter in. Yeah. And so instead of just saying, oh, those people don't have the light, they're haters, they're horrible. Realize we endure hostility from sinners just like Christ. And we have been placed to show mercy to them. Yeah. And I want to realize that if I could come out of that darkness, anybody can come out of it. And you need to have hope for your enemy, mm-hmm. that they could be reconciled to God and they can be reconciled to other humans. Mm-hmm. That we're not called to ever despair as a Christian, despair of anybody, even though it feels kind of good sometimes to despair of somebody, be like, no, that guy's a scumbag. That's the easiest thing in the world to do. Mm-hmm. And Jesus never did that.
Yeah, it's good. Really good. Final thought. And then maybe Pastor Liz, if you could pray for us today. I just was thinking earlier as we were, you know, talking about, you know, or just like going back and forth about a topic today and mercy was on it. Mm-hmm. It's just the word mercy seat came to mind. Mm-hmm. And I was like, he judges from a throne of mercy.
Wow.
He sits mm-hmm. in a position of mercy and he's ready. Father's ready to extend mercy over judgment.
A mercy seat sprinkled with his own blood.
That's right. Yeah. I just kind of thought about that earlier and just wanted to say that. If you guys had any last thoughts on that.
Gosh, man. That's the word when it says God put Jesus forth as a propitiation in Romans 3:24. Mm-hmm. It's helasterion. It's used in the Greek Old Testament for mercy seat. So we have these theories of, man, you know, God really needed to beat on Jesus to have his wrath pacified, but mm-hmm. because it says propitiation. Right. I used to teach that. Mm-hmm. It's like that's not the Greek. You know, that word is used as a mercy seat, a place mm-hmm. of reconciliation.
Right.
He put him forth as a reconciliation. Yes, through the shedding of blood.
Yeah.
Right. But to purify us, to turn us, to liberate us from our rebellion, mm-hmm. to liberate us from the darkness in our hearts.
Right.
To show us who God really is when we thought he was totally different, mm-hmm. to turn us back, you know?
Right.
And that's how he judged sin, was in his own flesh on the mercy seat of the cross. Yeah. He doesn't want to judge it in me. He doesn't want to judge it in you. He condemned sin in his own flesh. He became sin for us.
Right.
The Father was in him doing that. That's an activity of God. He's for us,
yeah.
you know? And it's like, it's easy to take that as a concept, but then you ask me to exercise that sort of a mindset towards the person I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can I be in their life a mercy seat, a place where they get turned back to their true self, mm-hmm. where they come out of this false self,
right?
This person possessed by hatred. That's not who they really are. Right. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do.
Right.
That's what he said on the mercy seat, on the cross.
Yeah. Yeah. And
blah, blah, blah.
Father, forgive me. I know not what I do.
I'm going to try to get off the soapbox.
Oh, you're good, dude. All right, Liz, you can close it out. Final thoughts and prayer, but whatever you'd like to do there, our sister.
Yeah, we'll pray.
Cool.
Father, we just acknowledge your extreme goodness beyond our understanding. Lord, that you are so full of kindness and love and mercy and justice and truth and everything else, Lord. And none of these things compete against each other, Lord. They are, each one reaches its fullness in you, Father. Lord, you're beyond our understanding, but Father, we trust your character and your ways, and we know who you are, Lord. And so, God, we ask for help today. We ask for help from you, Holy Spirit, that you would teach us what it means to live according to the nature that's inside of us, that's already there. It's not something we have to furbish or provide for ourselves or try to earn or try to fix, but it's already there. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask your empowerment, your help, your guidance in these ways. Open our eyes, open our ears. Give us hearts that are soft and easy to understand what it is that you're saying to us, Lord. Father, we ask for your help in these ways where it seems difficult or it seems unpleasant or even seems wrong sometimes, Lord, but we know that your ways are truth and they are life itself. And so we yield to you and we trust you, Lord. We yield to the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Like Paul said, I can only work among you what has been worked in me. So we ask that you would work this in us, that we might work it out into our culture, into our society, into our families, our churches, our nation. Father, we pray today for the United States of America. And Lord, we ask, God, that a wind of peace will blow over the nation. Father, we ask that the revival of the Holy Spirit would come. And Lord, that you would ignite hearts to burn for truth, to burn for truth. And yes, also for mercy, because they are both found in love. And so, Lord, we ask you, God, that you would use these moments of confusion and turmoil, and Lord, you would use them to soften hearts and to open eyes and to open ears to hear the Spirit of truth calling their name. Father, that you would begin to uproot things and tear down things and to build your true church in the way that seems right to you, Lord. Father, we know that you do work all things together for good for those that love you and are called according to your purposes. And we speak your word over this nation and over the churches of this nation, Lord. And Father God, we, in times when we don't know what to do, our eyes are fixed on you. And we know, Lord, that you have already overcome. You have already overcome. And so, Lord, we put our trust in you, our faith in you, and our hope in you. Lord, help us to love the people of this world the same way that you do. Help us to love those who curse us. Help us to love those who use us, who persecute us, who wrong us. And Father, we thank you for loving us when we are those people and for showing mercy to us as well, Lord. So Father, we thank you for the Spirit of truth that leads us and guides us and changes our thinking and tears down mindsets that keep us from you. Lord, we're here to learn and to grow and to mature into sons of God that reveal Christ in the earth. We thank you, Lord, and we love you and we bless your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Liz, Pastor David. Thank you all for watching. We'll see you next time. Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, visit our website, spiritschoolofministry.com.